So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Continue on with a message that I began last Sunday entitled Living Life on the Edge. Living Life on the Edge. And I'm telling you that, you know, as I talk about living life on the edge, I'm not talking about living foolishly, but I am talking about living life in a way that God wants you to live it, which is exciting. And the Bible says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But I come, Jesus said, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And if anybody knew about living life on the edge, it was David. And David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. This is the story of David and Goliath. And so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And we know the story. David took one of those stones, wound up, slapped him upside his head, and cut off his head, and showed everybody he was somebody who knew how to get ahead. If you would read in Leviticus, it tells us that the punishment for cursing God was to be stoned. David stoned him to death with one stone. I just thought that was kind of cool. And so anyway, we talked about living life on the edge, and we've talked about that one of the main things that you must come to terms with is that God has given you a dream. If you haven't never gotten a dream from the Lord, it might be because you're not spending enough time with Him. Because God always speaks to your potential and not where you are. He always speaks to your future and not where you are right now, because He wants you to be beyond where you are right now. He is a challenging God. Your dream and God's assignment for your life has no respect for your comfort zone. That your dream doesn't care about your comfort zone. God wants to get you out of your comfort zone. Somewhere along the line, you will have to grow comfortable with being uncomfortable. Somewhere along the line, you've got to decide that if I play it safe, I can have an okay life, but I'm going to have a boring life. At some point in time, you got to go, "God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to risk? Where do you want me to risk?" And let God show you. Let God do it inside of you. If I look at my notes, I'm going to preach until I get to where I already preached this last Sunday. If you were not here, go to YouTube, Crystal River, and put in Crystal River Church of God, and you can find it and look at last week. So give me my next one, Mike. Let me just catch you up right here. The biggest dreams are not safe. If you want God to give you a dream, then trust me, it's not going to be safe. What's the next one? It doesn't matter who doubts you. You're not in trouble until you doubt yourself. That you got to know what God says. So sometimes you just got to make sure you know what God said. Go into your prayer closet till you know exactly what God said. What's my next one? People don't have to believe in your dream. You do. They didn't believe in Daniel or Isaac's dream. They didn't believe in his dream. They didn't believe in Joseph's dream. That's who I was looking for. They didn't believe in Joseph's dream, but he believed in it and kept believing in it. Even though he went through some hell and high water, God still brought it to pass. Can you say amen? Listen, if you decide that you're not going to dream big, then you stay trapped in the season that you're in. And God never called you to stay in the season that you're in. He told you to go through it, whether it be a good season or a bad season. I don't know about you, but when I go through a good season, I want to stay there. When I go through a good season, I want to, like, God, can't we just spend a few years, like 20, right here in the good season? But God's called us to go through the season, whether it be the good or the bad. Can you say amen? What's my next one, Mike? Your challenge doesn't come to destroy you, but reveals who you are and what you're made of. See, some of you feel like that God sent something along to destroy you. No, it's sent something to reveal something to you, who you are. Because God already knows who you are. He said, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. And God put some things inside of you that will only come out if he allows you to go through some things. And by the pressure and the stress, cause it to come out. Let me tell you this. When something is squeezed, if it's squeezed hard enough, whatever's on the inside is going to come on the outside. What's my next one, Mike? Courage is the cost of doing something big. Courage is the cost of doing something big. It takes courage to be a world changer. It takes guts to be a world changer. The fulfillment of your greatest promise often lies on the other side of chaos and on the other side of fear. And if you let fear keep you on this side, you'll never do what God's called you to do. Conflict and chaos are part of the fulfillment process of a big dream. Now, that's what I preached the last Sunday. But let me start with point number three. I got five, I think. But number three and four is where I really want to zero in on. Number three is this. Don't allow the fear of failure to cause you to give up on your dream. Remind yourself of all the reasons why you must make it happen. That you've got to decide that there are bigger reasons to make it happen. You listen, some folks go, well, Pastor, you know, I don't have a reason to live. I don't have a reason. Everybody has a reason. Sometimes you just got to look for it. Sometimes you just got to look for it and understand that other people are connected to you. And when you succeed, they succeed. Once you succeed, if you ever come out of addiction, then it gives them strength and hope that if God brought you out, maybe God can bring them out. If you ever get out from being in a Jerry Springer episode, they decide, well, if they can get out, just maybe I can get out too. If you ever get happy, if you ever find that person and you ever settle down and you have children, it lets other people know that I don't have to live in the dilapidated state that I'm in. If God be for me, who can be against me? That I don't know when and I don't know where, but I know that if I just hang on to God's unchanging hand, he's going to bring me up and out of this situation, and I'm going to be better when I get on the other side of that situation, because God is calling me not just out, but he's calling me up and out. Can you say amen? Any dream or any assignment that you have that only blesses and benefits you is not much of a dream. Woo! I got a dream, Pastor. What's your dream? I got a dream I'm going to be rich. Well, who are you going to help? Well, I ain't helping nobody now. Why am I going to help anybody when I get rich? Come on, somebody. I know folks pray, Lord, help, let me win the lottery. Lord, you know if I win the lottery, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe. You won't tithe out of the $100 you make now. You just try to write a check for $100,000. Uh-huh. I had a couple, when we first started the building program, I had a couple that walked into my office, and all they, you know, they were very unassuming. What they did for a living is cut grass for a living. You know, and they didn't have a big outfit, but they walked in and they said, Pastor, we believe in the dream that God gave you to build this church. And so we want to sow the first money into the building fund. I said, okay, praise God. They said, but we're not sure how to do it. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, the Lord told us to write you a check for $20,000. I went, because you're talking about almost 15 years ago. And I was like, oh, praise God. And they must have had discernment, because they said, oh, the check will be good. Because I was thinking, well, a $20,000 check from y'all be good? You know. And I was going to deposit and wait for a little while to make sure it clears. How many know what I'm talking about? And so they said, but we don't know how to write a check for $20,000. I said, you start with a T-W-E-N-T-Y-T. I really did have to show them how to write a check for $20,000. But listen, it wouldn't have been great. You see, you got to understand that when God gives you a dream, it benefits more people than just you. It benefits other people than just you. And if your dream is all about you, then it's probably not a God dream. It's a lust of life. Good preaching, Pastor. The bigger your dream, the greater the blessing it becomes to others. Ask yourself this question. Am I willing to dream and go through stuff just for other people? Listen, this church, praise God, I thank God all the time for what it does and what it's been. And it's been a blessing to a lot of people. But can I tell you that it wasn't just a blessing to me? I've enjoyed it. But bless God, when we were building it, I wanted to kill people and tell God they died. I didn't want to go through that, but God knew what was going on. God knew what needed to happen, and you're able to sit in this place to now because somebody had a dream bigger than where they was, and it wasn't about them. It was about the kingdom of God, and it was about what God wanted to do. Can I tell you that God's got things inside of you that God wants to bring out if you will just allow him to, and recognize that it's bigger than you, and it should involve more people than just you. Who's counting on me to dream big and stick with it until the dream comes to pass? Ask that question. Who's counting on me? Maybe some of you that got saved was counting on me. Maybe my family was counting on me. What about your own personal life? Who's counting on you to make it? Who's counting on you to go through whatever needs you to go through in order to make it happen? Because the fulfillment of your dream means that their breakthrough, and even their, it might even mean their breakthrough, and even their salvation. My God. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if you come through, it gives other people an opportunity to know how to get through. Because God did it for you, then God will do it for them also. Any great dreamer who gets on the edge deals with times that they want to give up. Anybody ever wanted to give up? Oh my Lord, we could turn this service around right now if we just passed the mic and talked about all of our times that we wanted to give up and give in. All the times that we wanted to throw in the towel. Oh, let me get where you live. How many of you wanted to ever give up on your marriage? How many of you ever wanted to kill your spouse and tell God they died? How many ever wanted to give up on your marriage, but you didn't? Because there was a dream, there was somebody that was connected to you. Maybe it was your children, maybe what, I don't know what it was, but it was connected to you, and you go, I don't care what comes or what maze. I've got a dream that God said, let no man put asunder. I've got a dream that said that, bless God, until death do us part, I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to fight the devil and whoever else I got to fight in order to make this dream come to pass. It might have been your dream from when you was a child, but you're going to fight and make it happen because God is on your side. You've got to recognize that that's just reality, that the devil comes to stop you. Fear comes to stop you. All of this life comes to stop you, but greater is he that's in us than he that stands against us. And if we will hold on to God, he will bring us through, because he understands your feelings more than you. Oftentimes we spend so much time talking to ourselves and don't spend the right amount of time listening to what we're saying to ourselves and about our dreams. How many know what I'm talking about? We talk to ourselves. If you don't, that might be a problem. It really starts a problem when you start answering yourself. But you know what? Here's the reality. Is we often talk to ourselves in a way that we would never allow others to talk to us. Woo! Hear me now. You talk to yourself in a manner that you wouldn't allow other people to talk to you. I know I do. I started, y'all pray for me, I started back jogging. That's jogging and walking. But I started. I just can't even call it running. I think it's a disgrace to runners. So I jog. And when I'm jogging, I talk to myself. I'll tell myself, come on, you big fat slob. Come on, you can do it, you hound dog. And man, if somebody else talked to me that way, I'd be like, what? I know you ain't talking to me, right? But we talk to ourselves that way. And some of us talk to ourselves that way when it determines our dream. When we start saying, I can't do this. I'm a loser. I'm all this. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You've got to begin to change your perspective and understand that you need to talk to yourself like God talks about you. You see, we dog ourselves out, call ourselves names, tell ourselves we can't do something rather than speaking life into ourselves and reminding ourselves why we are dreaming big, why we can do it. I can do this. You can do this. We can do this. You just got to begin to change your language and begin to talk, not just positive talk, but begin to talk the word of God. Now, in order to talk the word of God, you've got to know a little bit of the word of God, which means you've got to read a little bit of the word of God so that when you get down, you can begin to talk to yourself. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You can talk to yourself when you fall. Even though I may fall seven times, I'm going to get back up because a righteous man falleth seven times, but he gets back up. You begin to talk to yourself through the word of God, because the word of God said in Isaiah that his word would go out and accomplish that which it was sent to do and would not return unto him void. So talk to yourself through the word of God. Woo! Conversations with others is important. But in fact, you have to limit your connection and your conversation with those who suck the life out of your dream. Woo! Well, Pastor, that's a problem because that's my spouse. You're right, that's some problems. But what do? We hang around people. You ever get around folks that, man, when you're done, when you leave their presence, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus. Woo! I left folks, when I got done, I felt like I needed a shower. Come on, somebody. I felt like I needed to be resuscitated. I've left some folks that all they do is just suck the life out of you. Well, we can't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. Blah, 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 blah. I just want to put an ice pick in my ear and say, shut up! Woo! You got to limit your connection. You got to limit how much time you spend with these people. Because, oh, don't let somebody else's opinion become your reality. Because if you will let them, they will make their opinion your reality. And they didn't do nothing to get to where they're at. They didn't do anything about your dream. Hear me, church. What's my next one? I think I have this. Wrong voices produces wrong choices. Wrong voices. Who are you letting speak into your life? My Lord Jesus. It is so important. I'll go one step further. Now listen, I'm one of those Christians. I can listen to people and I can eat the meat and spit out the bones. But there's some folks who gets choked on the bones. You know, you hear somebody say one thing, and to you it's the gospel. Or they make one statement that you don't agree with, and now all of a sudden they're not of God, or whatever the case is. You've got to be able to eat meat and spit out the bones, but understand that wrong voices produces wrong choices. I'm amazed at how many married people have folks who ain't married talking to them. There used to be a man in our church, I won't call his name, but he's married now, but he wasn't married at the time. And here's what he used to say to people. He would say, I wouldn't put up with that one moment. I tell you right now, when I get married, things change once he got married. Come on, somebody. Everything changes. It's one thing to say it, but you got to understand that you don't need to get have people speaking into your life who is unanointed. Well, but Pastor Oprah said, fooey with Oprah. She ain't going to give you no car. She's done. It's over.
And here's the thing. You're going to take advice from a person who is shacked up with Stephen or Stefan. It's crazy. You're going to take marital and relationship advice from them. Or you're going to take relationship advice from somebody who's been divorced 17 times. There was a woman in my last church, no joke, she was divorced 9 times. She married one guy, the same guy, 3 times. Married another guy 2 times. And the guy she married 3 times and the guy she married 2 times were brothers. So that was his stepchildren and had children by both of them. You're talking about messed up. And you want to take some marital advice from them? Really? No, no. What I want to, I need to talk to somebody who said, I'm going to tell you what, I almost killed my spouse, but I didn't, all right? And I need to talk to you. Now, what caused you not to do it? How did y'all work it out? Come on, somebody. What did y'all work through? Talk to me. Anybody listen to what I'm saying? I don't want to talk to somebody where we ain't ever had a cross word. That ain't my marriage. That ain't my marriage. Because me and my wife, we fight from time to time. Oh, look at me all holy if you want to. But me and my wife, and you know why we fight? Because she has an opinion. We would never fight if she didn't have an opinion, but she does. I told the Wednesday night crowd that bless God, we were, not too long ago, we were fighting. And it was kind of bad. And, you know, she's only 4'10 and a half, but she can be mean. And so we were fighting. And so she, but thank God, she come crawling to me on her hands and knees. And she said, get out from under that bed and fight like a man. That's a joke for those of you who don't understand jokes. But anyway, that's a joke. Listen, next to hearing God's voice, the most important voice you will ever hear as it relates to your big dream and your purpose in your life is your own voice. Because you can talk yourself out of something or talk yourself into something. Right? I mean, how many ever worked out? You know, you talk yourself in, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Yep. I can do this, I can do this. And you get on there and you get about halfway through, I can do this, I can do this. I can't do this, somebody get it. But you had yourself hyped up that you could do it. You can talk yourself into stuff. You have to speak to yourself. David was a man who had to learn to live with attacks and being underestimated, but yet succeeding anyway. Remember the Amalekites came against David? When he came against David's camp and took everything, including the wives, this was many years later, took his wives and his children, his mighty men, and David is in distress, and the people are all desperate in 1 Samuel chapter 30, but something very powerful happened. The Bible says that the people began to think about stoning him, but he talked to himself. How? The Bible said that he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. When nobody else will encourage you, you got to encourage yourself. When nobody else will talk to you, look into the mirror and ask God to begin to speak through you and talk to yourself and encourage yourself. David encouraged himself when he encountered these attacks to those that was against his big dream. And sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. The people in his camp lost confidence in him. But David was a champion. And David never lost confidence in himself. He encouraged himself. You have to learn to do that. If you want to overcome the voices the enemy wants to use against you to sabotage your dream, you got to learn to overcome those voices. Notice that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember who you are. And remember who has called you. You got to remember who you are. You know, I think about the one man who woke up on a Sunday morning and didn't want to go to church. And his wife came in and said, honey, we got to go. We got to get to church. He said, honey, I don't want to go. He said, baby, you need to go. She goes, I don't want to go. I don't like them people and they don't like me. And I'm not going to go. She said, you got to go. He said, name one good reason why I should go. She said, because you're the pastor. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. So, you know, Here, the problem is we come sometimes, and we do this at church, and it ought to be a good place to be encouraged, but sometimes we come to church wanting somebody to encourage us. Can I tell you, whether you encourage me or not, I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm going to worship God, and let the worship of His Spirit come and permeate where I am, and wherever I am, He's going to encourage me, and I'm going to find some solace, and I'm going to find some peace, because I know wherever He is, there is freedom, and there is liberty. So if you don't encourage me, I'm going to encourage myself by being in the presence of God. Listen, declare this to somebody. Say this with me. If God is able, then I am able. Oh, wait a minute now. Pastor, that's a little pious. No, if God is able, then you are able. Because you are God's child. And if God resides and lives in you, then you can do whatever God said you can do. So if God is able, you are able. He is able to keep that which you have committed unto Him. He's able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. If God is able, you are able. If God is able, then you are too, because David recovered everything he lost. The strongest people are not those who always win, but the ones who don't give up when they lose. Come back strong and go on to win. Woo, child. How many in this building? No, y'all might have to run on this one. How many in this building has people gave up on? How many in this building has people walked away from and said, you will never make it, you will never accomplish it, oh, they're done? How many times has the devil walked away dusting his hands off, saying, well, I just took them through that situation and they'll never come back out of it? But then here you are saying, booyah, devil, here I am. I'm still walking and I'm still talking. I'm still praising God. I'm still glorifying God. I might not be kicking as high as I once was, but bless God, I'm still kicking. I'm still here. I'm still going to be a thorn in your side, devil, because God hath called me. God has made me. God has redeemed me, and you are not the boss of me, because I reside under the power of the Almighty Jesus Christ. What are you believing about yourself? You are becoming what you are believing. So believe big. You are becoming what you believe in. So believe big. Man, I'm believing big. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of men the things that God has prepared for you. Glory to God. Number four, you must rise. You must rise to kill your giant, because if you don't, no one will remember your name. Anybody know the names of the people that Goliath killed? No. But we remember David. Because not only did he kill Goliath, he killed his four brothers. Our descendants of David killed his four brothers. Amen. Listen, church. If you don't kill your giant, nobody's going to remember your name. Listen, my God, there's some things that come down my family tree. All right? There's some things that came down generationally. Well, I don't believe in that. Whatever. But I can tell you that there are things that has come down through generations of my family. There is addictions, and there are other things that have come down, and I won't go into it, but have come down through my family tree. And yes, my family tree did have branches, even though I am from Alabama. They did have branches. It wasn't just one straight line. But anyway, let me move on. My tree, there's some things that came down, and somebody had to go on record. Somebody had to defeat the giant.
I looked at some of the giants that coming down my family tree and said, by God, they stop with me. They will not go to my children. They will not go any further. It's going to stop right here with me. Somebody has got to go on record to say, I might be the first in my family, but I will be if that's what it takes, because it's going to stop right here with me. You got to overcome the threat of your giant, slay your giant, because if you don't, nobody's going to remember your name. No one remembers who the giant killed, but everybody remembers who killed the giant. David arrives and the giant is threatening all of Israel and the whole camp is afraid. But David took his threats against his nation and against his God. He took it personal. You never confront and change what you don't take personal. You ever have anybody talk about you? And you know, if you've been living any length of time, you have. But some people you don't even give any thought to, because they talk about you, but you don't mean nothing. I've had people talk about me, you don't mean nothing. Why should I waste my time? I remember when I first started pastoring, I thought I had to chase down all the rumors. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, all you do is spend your time chasing leaves in the wind. So I quit chasing down rumors. I mean, there's all kind of, I've been here 24 years. You know what kind of rumors are around here on me? Ooh, Lord. I've been called a holiness preacher. I am. I've been called a holy roller. I am. I've been called a prosperity preacher. I am. I've been called a tongue-talking preacher. I am. I've been called a faith. I am. I've been called a money-grubbing. I'm not. In 24 years, I've been accused, nobody ever to my face, but I've been accused of 3 or 4 affairs. I don't even remember. 3 or 4 affairs. Pastor, why would you tell us that? Because I don't even care. Because number one, the 2 of them that I know of, I wouldn't have touched them women. Lord Jesus. Good Lord Jesus. No, homeboy ain't that desperate. I mean, have you seen my wife? She's pagaw, pagaw. I mean, she's put together. She's all that, a bag of chips and some government cheese. Yes, sir. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. I mean, and then, you know, and the other reason why they're not true, because I'm not dead. My wife killed me. She would be saying, get out from under the bed. So, you know, but you got to learn how to take some things personal. When other folk talk about it, I don't mind. But when the devil begins to accuse me, that's when I have to square my shoulders back. Hey, bro, you better take that back. You don't want me to throw some blood on you. I'll throw some blood of Jesus on you. Right? You got to know, you got to take it personal. It's time to take revival, renewal, and transformation in this generation personal. Yeah. It's time. Take it personally, and that will bring transformation if you take it personally. You don't give up when you take it personally. See, I remember my first church I told you all a little bit about when the one guy left the church and he was one of my best friends and he was our biggest tither, and he said, y'all won't make it without our tithe. Oh, I took that personal. I go, no, you didn't. I will get 4 jobs just to keep this church open. I know you ain't going to. You didn't do that. Oh, no. And the Lord showed, you got to take it personal. David hears the whole camp talking about this giant. And they're saying, have you seen this man who has come up against Israel? And check this out. I don't have time to read it because I got to be done here in a minute. The Bible says, whoever kills him gets enriched with great riches, marries the king's daughter, and his father's house gets exempted from taxes. And David said, read it for yourself later on. David said, wait, say that again. What does he get? He said, whoever kills him gets enriched with great riches, marries the king's daughter, and his house, or his father's house, gets exempted from taxes. Wait a minute now. Marry into the family of the king, power, enrich with great riches, money, marry a fine woman, sex. PMS. There have been a lot of good men put away by PMS. Power, money, sex. David, stop. Oh, I got to be careful. David thought about his own life. I can leave here and go back with sheep. Or I can have power. I can go back over there with them sheep. Or I can have money. I can go back over there with them sheep, or I can have sex. David says, shoot, sign me up. I'll fight that joker, right? He says, sign me up. I'll fight. Only fight a giant when there's a significant reward on the other side. See, there's too many folks who are fighting fights that don't matter. Too many people who are fighting and there is no reward on the other side. Some folks are fighting to be right. Now, he may be watching today, I don't know. But there was a guy who, he's just been a thorn in my flesh for a little while. And so we were Facebook friends for a little while, but we're not any longer. The last time he said, why are you my Facebook friend? I go, I don't know, block. I was really trying to help him, but here's what he told me one day. He calls me up, or he didn't call me up. He sends me a message. He goes, I just want you to know that I've been contacted by all the religious orders of the world, and because I've been through more than Jesus been through, I am the new mascot for all religions. Yeah, I did like you. And so, you know, I was like, you're so stupid. What's wrong with you? I go, congratulations. And that infuriated me. I wanted to congratulate him on his honor. He sends me another message and says, oh, you want to be a smart ASS? I go, I'm just taking my cue from you, O Messiah. I don't understand what the problem was. He called the good news to share with me that he's the new mascot. And I was like, congratulations. That got him mad. I don't understand. Why? Because why am I going to fight that when there's no reward? All I'm going to do is keep me and my mind upset. So don't fight with people who just want to fight. That's good preaching, Pastor. Some of your lives will be so much easier if you just stop fighting every fight that comes down. You got to know which stuff to walk the plank for. If there's no reward, then the giant is not worth fighting. Every fight is not your fight. David rises to the moment and immediately contends with the attacks of his brothers. Now notice what Eliab said in verse 28. Go ahead, come on guys. Why, his brother Eliab said, why did you even come? And who have you left those few sheep with? Why are you here? Who's doing the job you're supposed to be doing? See, think about this, because this was an assault actually on where David was. It was a belittlement of what David did at the moment. My God, somebody hear me. Don't let people put you in a category that belittles what you do right now, because you don't know what God's setting you up for. The people who are not with you in the small places probably won't be able to make it with you when you go to the large places. The people who can't handle you in the small places surely can't handle you in the large places. So let them go. Don't stay small to contain them.
every time you start to do something great, somebody will remind you where you're from and why you can't do it and why you're not able. Oh, Jesus, I need a little bit more time. But David said, you know, I could have took it from the giant. I expected the giant to talk about me. But from my own family? And you got the audacity to eat my lunch I brought for you? Eating my lunch I brought, talking about me. I would have expected it from the giant, but from you? Always be aware that sometimes in ministry and in life, you will have to contend with frenemies. That they're friends, but they don't want you to go beyond where you are. Everybody wants you to stay where you are when they came into your life. Because if you begin to move beyond where they are, they might think that you're going to forget them. People who should be friends but are overtly or even covertly enemies, frenemies. Never be surprised when people leave your life and begin to cheer for your failure. David's own brothers rose up against him. Your calling is greater than your circumstances. And when you face your giants, believe in your stuff and believe in your call. Ah, Lord Jesus. Right, I got to finish this. Let me just finish it. I know I'm running a little bit late. The threats ensued on David. The giant threatened David. I want you to hear this. The giant threatened David but never touched him. Do you know how many times you've been threatened by the enemy but he's never touched you? Why? Because he couldn't. There's a hedge around you. There's a hedge of protection. You know, the devils are like some snakes. Some people tell me, that snake won't hurt you. That snake will make me hurt myself. Right? And that's how the devil is sometimes. Well, the devil can, no, he'll make you hurt yourself. The enemy has fought because of the anointing. Listen, we took our text from chapter 17, but in verse 16, he was anointed king. David had been anointed just one chapter earlier. In 16, he is anointed, and in 17, he has to fight the giant. David proved through his life one of the chief reasons he was anointed was because of war. David got anointed before the appointment. David got the anointment before the appointment. Do you think you got the anointing just to sit there and sour and soak? Do you think God anointed you just to sit back? No, he gave you the anointment for an appointment. He's given you a touch for the task. God is not going to waste his anointing on a bunch of chickens. No one remembers David's brother's name. They're not mentioned anywhere at all anymore as it relates to David after this time. I got to give you this though. Can I give it? Everybody remembers David's name because he lived on the edge. Nobody remembers Eliab, Abinadab, and Shema. Now here's what's cool. I did a little search on them. Give me my next one here, Mike. Eliab means strength. Abinadab means volunteer as a soldier. A soldier represents training. Or Shema, which means astonishment, giftedness. So their names meant strength, training, and giftedness. And what strength, training, and giftedness could not do, the anointing can do. Oh, my God. I believe in strength. I believe in training. I believe in giftedness. But sometimes we rely on our gifting and our training. And we rely on this or that. But what you really need to rely on is the anointing. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is not the giftedness. It is not the training. It is not the giftedness. It is the anointing.
Are you listening? Listen, when God brought Josh into our church, he had some giftedness, didn't have no training, but we took care of that, and had a little bit of strength. But we've been working on them all. But what I would rather have than training and strength and giftedness is the anointing. Because the anointing can do what strength can't do. Anointing can do what giftedness can't do. Anointing can do what training can't do. You have been anointed. God, I'm trying to quit. Now, what I'm going to tell you a little story real quickly. And please hear me. It's not about me. When I came into the Church of God, one of the Church of God officials, my district overseer, said to me, Brother Foster, said, you'll never make it in the Church of God. Thanks for that words of encouragement. I just got an invitation last week that our church is in the top 200 of all the Church of Gods in North America. Come on, somebody. And then so I've been invited to this meeting. And I'm going. They gave us a website to go to, and I went there, and come to find out our church is in the top 100. We're number 99 in the nation. Yeah. But in saying that, I remember in 2004 sitting around the table with a bunch of big wigs. Now listen, I've spent a lot of money on my children's education, so I'm not against it. So as we were sitting around this table, they were going around and seeing where everybody was from. We were in Jamaica on a missions trip in the interior of Jamaica. And we had done the mission part of it, and had a one day to relax out in Ocho Rios, and that's where we were at. And they went around and began to say, well, it's not a matter in the Church of God of if you went to Lee College or Lee University. It's just a matter of when you graduated. And so they went around. What year did you graduate?
Well, I graduated cumla sum laude in 1984. I graduated sum laude. And they went around. And I'm getting so, because I haven't had education. And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm getting more nervous and nervous because I know that, see, I'm sitting at a table that I know I don't deserve to be at. I'm sitting at a table I know that I don't deserve to be there. And everybody else was talking about when they're graduating. And then they got to me, and my wife was with me. And before I could say anything, my wife said, oh, we're not educated, we're just anointed. So thank God for education. Thank God for training. Thank God for giftedness. But I would rather be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit than any other training it can be. You can't make it. Your dream can't come to pass just because you're gifted. Your dream can't come to pass just because of training. All of that helps, but your dream comes to pass because of the anointing of God that is on your life. Would you stand to your feet this evening? Oh, let me give you my last one. Number five. When heaven starts it, all hell can't stop it. When heaven starts it, all hell can't stop it. Come on, lift your hands. Let's just begin to worship it for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just enter into the presence of God for a moment. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.